Welcome to the broadcast. This is Pastor Jabulani McAllister, Senior Pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Providence, Rhode Island. Today, we hope that you're blessed by the message, Miles Apart, based on the scripture Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 9.
I'd like to share with you this morning from the subject, Miles Apart. Miles Apart. Let us pray. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Lord, I want to be more like you. Please make me to decrease as I share your word. And I pray that you increase in every way within me and have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, good friends are hard to find. They're people who we can share our true selves. They are people who have our back in very difficult situations. True friends are people who help us stay on the right track. They're people who have our best interest in mind. They are people who has, as a result of knowing us the most and more than most, help encourage us to become the best we can be. And it's a shame that not everyone can say that they have friends like this. For in times like these, we're hard-pressed to find a decent colleague or associate, let alone a true friend. In fact, enemies are a dime a dozen. So when we have true friends, it's important to do what it takes to cherish them and maintain that relationship. Whether it's visiting or calling them or writing them or praying for one another because we all have flaws, and mutually look out for each other. But you know, what's more fascinating to me about friendship is that some friends are so close to us that even when we're miles apart, we pick right back up where we left off whenever we connect. And God longs to have a relationship like that with us once more. A relationship that is so close that we share our hearts and our innermost being. Yes, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And yes, God knows everything before we share it with him in prayer. But he wants us to feel comfortable enough with him in relationship that we freely share all. But unfortunately, we don't always understand that God is there for us. We think that he's just some distant, unknown, unmovable entity that has left us all alone. Sometimes we ask ourselves, if our earthly relationships have become so distant, would God really care about us? We feel like we're miles apart, when in reality, God has never left us. Never. Now, this relational tension between God and God's people and how we interact with one another is nothing new. Our scripture today opens with Moses finishing a long discourse of preparation. Moses is at the end of a long road and faith journey with God and God's people. Deliverance from the Egyptian oppression and wilderness provisions and protection, divine grace and mercy and forgiveness time and time again. And Moses, at this point, has taken the people of God as far as he's able to go. So a transfer of leadership needs to happen. Moses reminded the entire new generation of Israelites who were not alive or very young when God did miraculous things and wonders that God was still going to do an amazing work in and through them. It was now time to fulfill their destiny and obtain the promises of God that was given to their ancestors so many years before. So Moses promoted his most trusted assistant, mentee, and friend, Joshua, in front of all the people. Joshua had shown himself a faithful leader and a good friend, and God was now rewarding his faithfulness. Now I imagine that Joshua always anticipated this moment, but was not looking forward to his mentor moving on. They had been through a lot together over the past 40 years. Through good and bad times, Joshua had been with Moses. Now, it's one thing to see God work on someone else's behalf and benefit from being in relationship with him, but now it was time for Joshua to fully trust God on his own for all of Israel's and his needs. There was a great work ahead, so this was a crucial moment where Moses helped Joshua bridge the gap of relationship so they would not be miles apart, but together, unified in God. And I believe that there are at least three ways our scripture today shows us how to shorten the distance between us and God. First, I believe that this text tells us to rely on God. Verse 3 says, "The Lord himself will cross over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua will also cross over before you, as the Lord promised." Sometimes when we experience things, we feel like God is decidedly, if not conveniently, absent. But sometimes what seems like absence is really God going before us to lay the foundation and make preparations for our arrival. You see, God will not send us forth to do great things for him without first equipping us with all we need in a holistic way, emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, financially, whatever it is we need, God will provide. And just because God does not always explain to us some of the behind-the-scenes work required to get us where we need to be does not mean he is not working on our behalf. The truth is that we couldn't handle knowing the big picture until it's time to be revealed in God's perfect timing. God has protected us from dangers seen and unseen, but he always has our back through good and bad times, through bountiful financial times and difficult financial times, through recessions, through depressions, through sickness and health, through ups and downs, through fickle governments, through grief and loss, through triumph and tragedy, through unbearable pain and anguish, through insurmountable challenges, through times when we feel like we just can't make it over. But the scripture says the Lord himself will cross over before us. When we rely on God, we will follow his lead to bigger and better things, and sometimes directly smack dab in the middle of our challenges. And just when we feel like we're all alone and we can't bear our challenges any longer, God sends someone to come alongside us through the struggles. It may be someone who will always be around. It may be someone who's there only for a season, but God will send us our own Joshuas who will also cross over before us, as who the Lord has promised. The Lord's promises are true. I said, the Lord's promises are true. Yeah, that's where you say amen. Life isn't easy. I know, and you know. Therefore, we cannot afford to be fair weather friends, only trusting God and rejoicing when we have that dream job and that perfect mate or stellar children. No, we must always rely on God to be all he says he will be. Second, I believe this text not only teaches us to rely on God, but it also instructs us to embrace success. Embrace success. Verse 6 says, "Be strong and bold. Have no fear or dread of them, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." Now, sometimes we don't recognize how fortunate we are to have God.
God loves us in spite of us and all that we do every day to wrong him. How could God love a wretch like you and me, given how flawed and disobedient and unworthy we are? Well, you see, I'm glad. I'm so, so glad that God loves us just because. Not because of what we've done. Knowing that God loves us unconditionally frees us from dwelling on the haters in our lives. We will always have enemies, no matter how hard we try to get people to like us. Everybody is not going to like us. But the scripture tells us in Proverbs 16:7, when our ways please the Lord, he will make even our enemies to be at peace with us. Now, that doesn't mean that they will cease being our enemies, but they will be a blessing to us and won't even know why. They will try their hardest to destroy us, but God will continuously intervene on our behalf as long as we stay in the center of his perfect will. So there's no need to fear or dread our enemies, because God will not fail us or forsake us. That's right. We're more than conquerors through God who loves us. And embracing success in God, let me be clear, embracing success acknowledges strongly and boldly that we believe that God will fight our battles. Embracing success helps us move beyond the cement of fear and dread and take God by the hand and walk in the steps that he has ordered for us in his word. Now, finally, I believe the scripture not only tells us to rely on God and to embrace success, but it also tells us to step into our destiny. Verse 7 says, then Moses summoned Joshua. You know, sometimes the Lord just has to summon us. Hey, wake up, get over here. And said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and bold, for you are the one who will go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their ancestors to give to them, and you will put them in possession of it. You know, as friendships develop and trust builds, we will be called upon sometimes to step into our destiny. Sometimes God uses our friends and colleagues and mentors and others to point out the greatness inside of us. But you know, sometimes we feel a long time fighting against our destiny and who we should be, and we deny it. We may feel like greatness and we are distant relatives, twice removed. But God sees who we really are and fashions who we're destined to be. It's like on the potter's wheel. There's going to be some things that are stripped away. But as long as we stay in the potter's hands and let him mold us and shape us into who we need to be, we will get there. But you know, we cheer and smile when someone else is commissioned to do great things. Oh, that's great for them. I'm so glad for them. Trying to downplay the skills and abilities and gifts that the Lord has given us. And many of us know that God has called us to do great things, but it seems too risky to launch out into the deep. We run, but we can't hide. Eventually, when we try to skirt our responsibilities and wait for someone else to do what the Lord has told us to do, the Lord will let us know. What did the scripture say? You are the one who will go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their ancestors to give them, and you will put them in possession of it. You are the one who is supposed to mentor that young boy or girl or show them the way that they should go, so when they're older, they won't depart from it. You are the one who's supposed to go to that person who does not know Jesus and help him or her get into relationship with him. You are the one who will destroy generational curses of lies and deceit, of sexual, verbal, and physical abuse, of addictions and divorce, and all types of things that are ungodly. God has something special in store for all of us that only we can do. He just designed us that way. Things just work so much better. They just do. The sooner we allow the Lord to rule and reign our lives. Somehow we think we're going to miss something if we turn loose our pride and our self-centered ways. Well, I must agree with you. We will miss something: death and destruction. But I don't know about you, but I would rather have the peace that surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. I would rather have life and life more abundantly. I would rather be able to sleep at night knowing that I helped someone else get to their destiny too. Now, the good news is that God has given us his word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We get off track a lot. Oh, it got kind of quiet on that one. We get off track a lot following the ways of the world. When we follow anyone else but Jesus, we end up more than just miles apart. We end up worlds apart, galaxies apart. But God's word is the roadmap to guide us back into relationship with him. Even when we run away from him, Jesus is always there with outstretched arms waiting for our return. But I'm so glad that in his permissive will, he does not just wait for us to come back. Jesus is continuously doing whatever it takes to reunite us with him again. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." All the excuses in the world will not negate the fact that we need our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for us, and when he arose, he assured us, "Lo, I am with you even until the end of the age." The world may pass away any day now, but Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus stretched out his arms wide across on the cross to bridge the gap for us. Now we no longer have to live miles apart, but sitting at the right hand of God. "And I just can't give up now," the song says. "I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe that God has brought me this far to leave me. And I'm glad that God intervened in our lives and brought us back to him. Jesus snatched us out of the hands of death, transformed us from sinners to sinners saved by grace, and ultimately reconciled us to become best friends for life. And he is waiting to do that again. And again, and again, and again." Amen. God bless you.
Thank you once again for listening to the broadcast today. I pray that God spoke to you through the message. Please join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at Calvary Baptist Church, 747 Broad Street in Providence, Rhode Island. 401-461-7507 is how you may contact us. Or you can send us an email, calbaptist@calbaptist.org. Or send us a message on Facebook. We look forward to worshiping with you. If you're blessed by our ministry, please prayerfully consider donating to help keep this program on the air. Until next time, this is Pastor Jabulani McAllister. God bless.